Hello. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Let's start with prayer first. Well, it's a little loud. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we are here today. Grateful for this opportunity to just seek your face, Lord, and we come because we need you, Lord. And we just pray that this morning, Lord, that we could meet with you as well as receive some encouragement, life, Lord, to really walk with you, Lord, as well. We just want to offer you this time and speak to us. We are open, Lord, to just whatever revelation, conviction, anything, for everything that comes from you is truly good, Lord. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to start with our assurance of guidance verse. Just follow me in faith. And so assurance of guidance, that's Proverbs 3:5-6. If you know it, you can speak it along with me. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So this is the assurance of guidance verse. And we use this oftentimes. I would say we use this one and probably like seek first his kingdom. That one is Matthew 6:33. And we also use assurance of victory, 1 Corinthians 1. We use those ones quite often, but we especially use this one, and we even quote this for people in their time of need, right? Because we're saying, hey, God has a plan, be faithful, and stick with it, right? So this is a great verse. So I'm just going to pack this backwards. So it ends with, he will make your path straight. All of us want this. We want a straight path, right? When we're going through life, when we don't know what to do, we don't want to. We want to get from point A to point B in a direct straight line. We don't want to go choop, 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 right? We don't want to be the Israelites who spent 40 years wandering the wilderness when it really should have taken like 1 year, right? We want to. You know, not, I think, especially in Hong Kong, in this very corporate place, we want to be efficient. We want to be effective. And I think this is a good thing, right? Even as just as followers of Christ, we want to be efficient, effective. We want to maximize and make the most of our limited time here on earth. So this is the result. He will make your path straight, and this is what we want, clearly. Next, going backwards, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So actually, Pastor Ricky shared on this very recently, and he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he said, it's acknowledging him, and it's the word yadach. And yadach means, like, really to know, like, to know God. And like kind of, and it's more than just an idea, but it's also an action, it's an experience, and that's what it is to know. So when we acknowledge God, in all your ways acknowledge him, it's related to that word yadach, because we are acknowledging what we know, right? So it's in some ways you're giving God, like even as we trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, in all your ways acknowledge him, the reason we are able to is as we acknowledge him, we are recognizing all the faithfulness he's done in our lives. It's not just we're doing this blind trust, right? Like you got to say the verse 10 times and then the more you say it, the more you believe it. So you're not brainwashing yourself. It's you're recognizing, oh, God is incredibly faithful in our lives. Number three, or not three, but going backwards, lean not on your own understanding. God's ways are higher than our ways. And for most of us, when we use this verse, when we don't know what to do in times of trouble, this is not a difficult point because we're at a point where we don't know what to do, right? So it's like, okay. I think maybe that's more encouragement, partly because it's just to acknowledge, hey, you don't know what you're doing anyway. But for those of us, I mean, Proverbs 3, 5, 6 isn't just for when we don't know what to do, but it's also wisdom as to how to live our lives even when we do know what to do. So don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get too proud. Don't start relying on your own strength. And then if we move ourselves backwards to, I guess, the first statement, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this is, I think, this is the point that's hard. Trusting God with all your heart. Because most of the time when we speak this verse in faith, we don't know what to do, right? It would be a lot easier to trust God if maybe he gave us something, right? Whether it be we seeking advice through career, family, you know, health, conflict, you know, spiritual growth, all that, you know, we might be in the desert and God says, trust us, trust me. And maybe if he just told me something, gave me a little bit of instruction or plan, it would be a lot easier to trust him. However, not always, sometimes he's very graceful, but oftentimes there's nothing. It's silent. We have no instruction or master plan, and then we're told to trust, and that's really, really hard. So how do we get that trust? So in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, you don't have to turn there, at the end of verse 17, it says, it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So another translation is maybe a little easier to understand, is those who are right with God will live by trusting him. So I'll say it again. Those who are right with God will live by trusting him. So the result of being right with God, the result of walking with God, is trust. So you can deduce that if you are not right with God, if you're not walking with God, it will be very hard to trust him. So even just experience, whenever we are on mission trips, right? Oftentimes, you don't know what to expect. You go and you don't know really what you're going to do, and you recognize the limit of your strength to really impact someone, a nation, the people in such a short amount of time. So you go and then you quote Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And on a mission trip, because the whole team is, you know, just set this time aside to really seek God, to walk with him, it's so easy to trust when we use this verse. Not only do we trust, we even give praise, right? You're like, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but we give you praise because we know you're going to do something, and we mean it. We just say it once, as in the verse. But oftentimes, when we are not walking with God, and this is the circumstance where we're just doing our own thing, we're so focused on our career, our business, just on our own strength. And I'm not even talking about like sinning. That's a whole other thing. That, of course, separates you. I'm just talking about walking with God. And when something goes wrong, circumstances go bad, and you don't know what to do, it's hard. And we use that verse, and that's when we need to repeat it 10 times, maybe 100 times, to kind of convince us it's true. It's hard to trust. So I'm going to just finish with a story, and Janelle is going to just play as kind of a soundtrack. So you just listen to this story and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So once there were four sons who lived in a mountain castle with their father. The eldest was obedient, but the younger three were forgetful. The father had warned them of the river, but they had not listened. He had told them to stay out of its furious waters, but they didn't obey. He had begged them to stay clear of the bank, lest they be swept downstream, but the lure was too strong. Each day they ventured closer and closer to the bank until one day one dared to reach in and feel the waters. "Hold my hand so I won't fall." And the brothers did, but when he touched the water, the current yanked him and the other two into the tide and rolled them down the river. Over rocks they bounced, through the channels they roared, on the swells they rode. Their cries for help were lost in the roar of the river. They fought to gain their balance, but were powerless before the current. After hours of struggle, they gave up hope of escape and surrendered to wherever the river would lead. Finally, the waters dumped them on the bank in a strange land, in a distant country, in a barren place. Savage people dwelt in the land. It was not safe like their home. Cold winds chilled the land. It was not warm like their home. Rugged mountains marked the land. It was not inviting like their home. Though they didn't know where they were, of one fact they were sure: they were not intended for this place. For a long time, the sons lay on the bank, stunned at their fall, not knowing where to turn. After some time, they gathered their strength and re-entered the waters, hoping to walk upstream. The current was too strong. They ventured to walk the river's edge. The terrain was too steep. They pondered climbing the mountains, but the peaks were too high. Besides, they didn't know the way. Finally, they built a fire and sat down. "We made a mistake," they admitted, "and we are a long way from home," they said. With the passage of time, the sons learned to survive in the strange land. They found nuts for food and killed animals for skins. They determined not to forget their homeland, nor abandon hopes of returning. Each day, they set about the task of finding food and building shelter. Each evening, they built a fire and told stories of their father and older brother and longed to see them again. Then one night, one brother failed to come to the fire. His brothers found him the next morning in the hills with the savages. He was building a hut of grass and mud. "I've grown tired of our talks," he told them. "What good does it do to remember? Besides, this land isn't so bad. I will build a great house and settle here." "But it isn't our home," they objected. "No, but it is if you think of the real one, if you don't think of the real one." "But what of father? What of him? He isn't here. He isn't near. Am I to spend forever awaiting his arrival? I'm making new friends. I'm learning new ways. If he comes, he comes, but I'm not holding my breath." And so the two brothers left the hut-building brother and walked away. They continued to meet around the fire to speak of home and dream of the return. But one evening, one brother failed to appear at the campfire. The next morning, his brother found the missing brother near the river stacking rocks in the water. "It's no use," he explained as he worked. "Father won't come for me. I must go to him. I offended him. I insulted him. I failed him. I was the one who first touched the water. I was the one who caused you and our brothers to fail. There's only one option. I will build a path through the river and walk into our father's presence. Rock upon rock I will stack until I can journey upstream the distance of our fall. When he sees how hard I have worked and how diligent I have been, he will have no choice but to open the door and let me into his house." The last brother did not know what to say. Alone, he returned to the fire. One night, as the remaining brother sat near the fire, he heard a familiar voice speak out of the shadows. Father has sent me to bring you home. He lifted his face to see the eyes of his older brother. For a long time, the two embraced. And your brothers? The eldest finally asked. One has made a home here. The other is building a path to our father. And so the firstborn set out to find his siblings. He found one in a thatched hut on a hillside. Go away, stranger, screamed the brother through the window. You are not welcome here. I've come to take you home. You have not. You have come to take my mansion. This is no mansion, firstborn countered. This is a hut. It is a mansion, the finest in the lowlands. I built it with my own hands. Now go away. You cannot have my mansion. Don't you remember the house of your father? I have no father. You were born in a castle in a distant land where the air is warm and the fruit plentiful. You disobeyed your father and ended up in this strange land. I've come to take you home. The brother peered through the window at firstborn as if seeing a face he'd seen in a dream. But the pause was brief, for suddenly the savages in the house filled the windows as well. Go away, interloper, they demanded. This is not your home. You are right, responded the firstborn son, but neither is it his. The eyes of the two brothers met again, and once more the brother felt a tug in his heart, but the savages had won his trust. He just wants your mansion, they cried. Send him away. And so he did. Firstborn sought the other brother. He found him knee-deep in the river, stacking roots, rocks. He struggled to keep his balance against the current. Father has sent me to take you home. The brother never looked up. I can't talk now, my friend. I must work. Father knows you have fallen, but he will forgive you. He may, the brother interrupted, but I have to get to the castle first. I must build a road up the river. Then I will ask for his mercy. He has already given his mercy. I will carry you up the river. The river is too long. The water is too swift for your legs. The task is too great for your hands. He sent me. I am stronger. For the first time, the brother looked up. How dare you speak with such irreverence? My father will not simply forgive. I have sinned. I have sinned greatly. He told me to avoid the river, and I disobeyed. Not only that, I pulled my brothers in the water with me. I am a great sinner. I need much work. No, my brother, you don't need much work. You need much grace. The distance between you and our father's house is too great. You haven't enough strength, nor the stones to build the road. That is why Father sent me. I will carry you home. Are you saying I can't do it? Are you saying I'm not strong enough? Look at my work. Look at my rocks. Already I've journeyed 5 steps, but you have 5 million to go. The younger brother looked at firstborn with anger. I know who you are. You are the voice of evil. You are trying to seduce me from my holy work. Get behind me, you serpent. The rock he was about to place in the river, he lunged at firstborn. Heretic, screamed the path builder. Leave this land. You can't stop me. I will build this road and stand before my father, and he will have to forgive me. I will win his favor. I will earn his mercy. Firstborn shook his head. Favor won is no favor. Mercy earned is no mercy. You treat your father like a whore trying to buy his love. This time, the rock hit its mark. Leave me, you stranger, screamed the brother. Firstborn brushed the blood from his forehead. I appeal to you. Let me carry you upriver. The response was another rock, so firstborn turned and left. The youngest brother was waiting when the firstborn returned. The other two didn't come? No, one chose pleasure and the other chose guilt. Neither chose the father. So they will remain? The elder brother nodded slowly. At least for now. And we will return to our father? Asked the brother. Yes. Will he forgive me? Would he have sent me if he wouldn't? And so the younger brother climbed on the back of firstborn and began the journey home. So let's pray. As Janella leads us, Which brother are you? Which brother are you? Are you the brother that is really seeking their own pleasure? Seeking your own plans? Or maybe you're the brother operating out of guilt and you're just striving in works. You know, it can even be spiritual disciplines where you're striving to serve, striving to fast, striving to do EMP. But, or are you the brother who really has the heart of the Father? Romans 1 verse 17. Those who are right with God will live by trusting Him. And when the elder brother came and shared profound truth that he was there to take the other brothers back home, that the Father had forgiven, the first two brothers were unable to receive it, but the third brother was able. So let's just take an honest look at ourselves, at our lives. Are we really walking with God? Are we really dependent on Him? Or is it just when things go bad that we depend? And if you recognize perhaps areas in your life that you're really just controlling, that you're controlling and that you have not, and time, and you've just allocated time, too much time away from God, I encourage you just to repent, recognize, and just confess those things that you have not given your heart over to God, and just to lay those things down. Yes, God, Lord, we just want to submit ourselves to you, Lord. All our plans, all our thoughts, Lord, all our dreams and desires, Lord, we submit them to you, Lord. It's not that we are giving them up, but we just want to have it go through you first, Lord, and have you be involved in our decision process, Lord, because we just want to be involved with you, Lord. And, you know, just as your ways are higher, Lord, what we might think is the best might not be, Lord. And we just want to just always rely on you, Lord, so that we can have your best, Lord. And I know that seems very self-seeking in some ways, God, and it is. But we recognize also as just our good Father, Lord, you do want the best for us. You want to guide us. You want our paths to be straight. And you want to teach us, Lord, and discipline us as well, Lord. So, Lord, we even with this decision to really trust as well as walk with you and be right with you, Lord, we ask for your help in this as well. Even with this, we can enter into a trap of really just relying on ourselves. But God, we ask for your help in this as well. Holy Spirit in us, help us, draw us closer to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to our prayer focuses, community prayer focus. Let's cover those loved ones who are going through cancer as well as chemo. Slide. Let's also cover those who are sick, but as well as just need to know God. Let's pray for just opportunities as well as healing. Also cover those who are sick. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors. And also just that trust that we cover today for them to really be able to embrace that trust and even respond in praise.
Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's cover missions. If you could cover Cambo, Grace, as well as the Bloom team that's being sent out, especially in their preparation and logistics, unity, all that, as well as you can pray for P. Sophia in Japan, especially her health. Let's cover IP Well Cascade. Let's pray for God's anointing, especially in healing. And let's pray for just his protection over this team as well as just unity for the team. For educational ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU, and SP Youth is going to be going to Davao this weekend. So let's pray for all their, they have a lot of preparation, as well as let's pray for the protection as well. Cover the outreaches tonight, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Let's pray for just favor and for the power of God to work through the teams. Father, Lord, Father, you're just so great. You're the creator. You're the Alpha and Omega, God. And your ways are just so much beyond ours, Lord. And sometimes it is difficult to recognize that and hard for us to release our control of our lives, God. So Lord, we just want to surrender that control in our lives, and even sometimes the control we have on other people's lives, Lord, especially children. And we offer these things to you, Lord, and we trust you, God, with all our heart. Lean not on our own understandings. We acknowledge you for all that you've done in our lives. You're so faithful, Lord, always, always faithful. And we believe that you will direct us in our paths, even when we have no idea what that direction is, Lord. But if we follow you faithfully, Lord, you will be faithful, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Just bless everyone here today as we go off into the morning. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with your discernment of when you are working, when blessings and opportunities occur, that they could walk in those blessings, step forth in those blessings as well. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please continue to seek seek after God and have a great day.